Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography in the land of Israel, and of course, current events that are happening in that part of the world. Today, we have the privilege of talking to Dr. Baruch Korman, who lives in Israel with his family. He has advanced degrees in biblical languages and studies. He's the founder of Love Israel. It's a ministry that's dedicated to providing verse-by-verse teaching of the entire Bible from the original languages in the Jewish context. And he speaks worldwide. He's got a beautiful radio show called Lost in Translation, which is heard all over the United States and many, many other places. He's on television worldwide as well. And of course, Lost in Translation is heard on American Family Radio. Dr. Baruch is a dear friend. We've actually been in your home many times, and it is so good to have you here in the United States.
It's good to see you again, to see your wife, Lenny, and to just share fellowship and to discuss what we love to discuss, and that is the truth of God and what he's doing.
Dr. Korman, there's a lot of people listening right now who have never heard of Love Israel and what you guys do around the world. Just give us an idea of what the purpose is of your ministry and what you guys are all about.
LoveIsrael.org is a Bible teaching ministry. What we like to do is to simply share the Word of God, emphasizing the grammar of the biblical words in their original language in order to introduce people to biblical truth, believing that through the Holy Spirit and that biblical truth, lives are changed, they're brought into God's will, where God is glorified. And that's our objective. We want people to live in a way that is pleasing to God and glorifying to him.
Why is that important to, you know, understand the original languages and the Jewish, you know, context of Scripture when we read it?
Well, the Word of God doesn't come to us in a vacuum. He uses literary devices and techniques. The vocabulary is so important, and the grammar, in order to convey, again, his truth, his revelation, what we desperately need to know in order that we can live in a way that is praiseworthy. And again, that's our objective. We want to encourage people, help people. We're thankful for the call on our lives to do this, to help people live a praiseworthy life, to live in a way that God is glorified, that God is honored, and that God is well-pleased. That's what we want people to hear. Well-pleased, my good and faithful servant.
Baruch, we all want to study the Bible properly. We want to know how to study the Bible. And I'm so excited because you guys have just released a Bible study course, How to Study the Bible Properly. It's in Spanish and English. This is an incredible course where people will go through and be encouraged and given the tools on how to study the Bible properly. Tell us a little bit more about this.
What it is, hopefully many people will know the term exegesis, which is a big word which simply means to bring out of the text the original purpose. And that's what we want to do. There's also hermeneutics, which is a methodology for interpreting the Bible, a proper methodology. And that's what we want to do in that course, is to teach people how to study God's Word in order to learn the truth of God for one reason, to implement it into their life so that, again, they can live in a way that is honoring to God.
We could talk the rest of the show about how to study God's Word and how to interpret it properly, but what's one thing you might say to someone who is just at the beginning of this, I want to understand the Word of God more, what do I do?
The most important thing, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, slow down. Don't be in a rush to learn the truth of Scripture. Read that passage over and over and over, and just not read it. Be prayerful as you read that Scripture. And I think it's so helpful to have a notebook in your hand with a pen or a pencil. And as you read that, there's going to be thoughts that the Holy Spirit brings into your mind. You want to write those down. And the more time that you spend studying God's Word, reading God's Word, prayerfully considering God's Word, you're going to be amazed that the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. Slow down, read, reread, and be prepared for God to lead you to his truth.
One way to understand God's truth better is to study with Dr. Baruch Korman. And you can do that through an app that you can get on your mobile device, the My Bible Study app. It's available for Android and iOS devices. I want to encourage you to download that app. Get that on your device. You'll be able to see all of the teachings of Dr. Baruch Korman from Love Israel, and it'll help you to study the Bible verse by verse in the original languages. So download that app, the My Bible Study app. You can search for it when you go to your app store for iOS and Android devices. Dr. Korman, Israel continues to face so many difficult days there in the land of Israel and the Jewish people around the world with anti-Semitism that is just growing. We want to focus on the current war that's happening there in the land of Israel. Obviously, since October 7th, 2023, and the slaughter of innocent civilians there in Israel from Hamas demonic terrorists, it has been an ongoing war there in the land of Israel. You've been attacked by Iran. You've been attacked by Hezbollah. You have been attacked by the Houthi rebels in Yemen. In fact, just several days ago, there was a ballistic missile that fell just outside of Ben Gurion Airport. Let's focus in for just a moment on what's happening in the war front there in the land of Israel, and specifically, you know, what's happening in the Gaza war there in Israel.
Well, we've been here for a few days, and I talked to my youngest daughter last night, and there was a lot of noise, not of explosions, that she was hearing because we live about 25 kilometers, what we could say, 15 miles from the northern part of Gaza. And the Israeli armed forces, the military, the Air Force are, again, working in Gaza in order to bring victory to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. And what I want to emphasize is that God's at work at this. Whenever there's conflict, God's in it. And there's a side that's pleasing to God, and there's a side that's displeasing to God. And I think we need to remember that because our God is a God of justice. And we see that on October 7th, 2023, that Israel was attacked. And it's interesting because the people who were attacked, and many of them slaughtered to death, and I'm not going to go into the atrocities, but people need to be educated on what happened on October 7th, what happened to babies, what happened to women, what was actually done, because it was not righteous behavior. It was satanic behavior. And we need to just be upfront and be truthful about it. And what we see here is that that war began. It was unprovoked, and the people, most of which who were at the front lines of this, were people who were assisting the people of Gaza. There were organizations that when a sick child with a disease, with a problem that needed surgery, these people were the ones who were going in and bringing them out using different foundations, different nonprofit organizations to help the people of Gaza. And how were they repaid? By being butchered, by their homes being set on fire, by people being killed by smoke coming into their safe rooms. This is what happened. And we need to have a right view, not the deceitful view that so many of the international press is putting out. So I appreciate you, John, because you want to report truth. That's what's going on in Israel and the Middle East, not simply representing a woke agenda.
The international community says that the Arabs there in Gaza need justice. They need food. What does the Bible have to say, you know, about justice and accountability? How does God's word play into all of this and what's happening there in Gaza?
God is a God of justice. We see what Messiah does. Messiah came to this world in order to justify us. We're guilty. We're sinful. And God just didn't ignore that. God didn't bring about just a ceasing of punishment. No, God did the work of justification through redemption. There was a price that had to be paid, and that price was the blood of his only begotten son. What we see here is that Israel wants one thing. You know, people have been talking about a ceasefire or bringing the war to an end. The war, Israel's willing to bring this war to an end, but not on the terms of Hamas, not on what they want. What do they want? Now, here again, people need to be informed. And what Hamas wants is they want no accountability. They want no justice upon them for what they carried out on October 7th. And it didn't begin on October 7th. There were thousands of rockets that Hamas launched into Israel. But if they want an end to the war, they need to do something. They need to unconditionally surrender. Now, Israel is stronger than Hamas. Everyone knows that. And wars, you don't supply the enemy food and means and fuel and different things. No army would do that. If America would have done that in World War II, we would have never had that victory in Europe if we decided, you know what, we're going to feed the Germans, we're going to feed the Italians, we're going to feed the Japanese. No. It is because we waged war, and we need to remember Dwight Eisenhower. There was negotiations, and he cut them off. Read history. He says, if there's not an unconditional surrender, there's nothing to talk about. That's how the war in Gaza needs to end, with an unconditional surrender. The sooner that happens, the better it is for everyone. You know, the Jewish people, we're not suffering. I live in Israel. I live, as I said, around 15 miles from Gaza. I'm not suffering. I have food. I have all the things I need. I'm not sleeping out on the beach as the people of Gaza. If we want change, there has to be an unconditionally surrender. Then we can talk about what the future of Gaza is going to be. But until the hostages are released, and there's 59 left, but we have indication that only about 20 or 22 of that 59 are still alive. How did the others die? They were murdered. We need to remember that there was a young woman, Shiri Bibas, and her two sons, and they were killed by bare hands. Now, Hamas lied, and they said, oh, there was Israeli bombing that killed them. But we got their bodies, and they were examined, and they were killed by hands, human hands. So this is the truth that people need to know before they suggest things that are not pleasing to God.
The world says nothing about accountability. They just use justice. They say, well, we need to have justice, and that means more food to the Gazans. But they forget the accountability apart, everything that you described. And that is the false narrative that is being promoted out there. We want accountability. We want them to be helped. But where's the justice?
The justice is non-existent. And here again, you know, if you ask most of the Israelis, do you hate the people of Gaza? We understand that there's many people there that are nice people, that don't want conflict. They want to raise their family. They want the basis of life. That they're not bad people. But we also need to know the reality that on October 7th, the majority of the worst acts that were committed were not committed by Hamas. They were committed by civilians. We have it recorded. They recorded it. So we need to understand that Hamas is guilty, but the people of Gaza were not innocent in this. And they voted Hamas into power, and they're accountable. So do we like people to starve? Do we like people to suffer? Absolutely not. We're not people that enjoy the suffering of others. But if you want that suffering to end for the people of Gaza, there needs to be accountability, there needs to be justice, and there needs to be an unconditional surrender. Until that happens, things are going to be very unpleasant for the people of Gaza.
So I've got two questions. Do we see any things in the Bible where, you know, Israel's battling against an enemy where they're, you know, the Israelites are told, hey, please give them food. They need food. Give them food. Do we see any of that? And can you just bring us through the Bible or share, you know, from God's word about justice and accountability in regards to what happened there in Gaza?
Well, the word that comes into my mind is a Hebrew word, matzor, which is a siege. We find that historically in the Bible and also throughout history, that armies, if they could, would lay siege against a city. Now, what was that? It means they surround the city. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. The food runs out, and then what happens? It facilitates just what I'm talking about, a surrender. The people know we're in a hopeless situation. We can't go on. Now, when October 7th happened, the Yoav Gallant, who was the head of defense for Israel, Secretary of Defense, we could call him, he announced there was going to be a siege on Gaza. How long did that last? Until President Biden called him up and said, stop, we can't have this. And what that has done has prolonged this war. All of this humanitarian aid has only caused things to go on and on and on. And, you know, the problem we have here is President Biden wanted Israel to allow for the Gazans to get food. But you know what? Hamas didn't give it to the hostages. And if we open our eyes and look, so many of those men that came out here in the last few months, they were malnourished. And the doctors say they may never fully recover what they suffered in captivity. Now, did Hamas follow the Geneva War Conventions on how to hold prisoners, how to treat them? No. But then Israel is being pressured to do what is foolish, what is counterproductive. Feed the enemy, give them gas, do all of that. And when we do, and when we had a ceasefire for hostages being released, what did they do? They replenish, they rearm, they strengthen their positions so they could fight more. They're not interested in giving up. Why? They haven't seen the light. And sometimes it's the heat that causes people to see the light. And there needs to be much more pressure put upon them. And I'm thankful that with the change of administration, we haven't seen Donald Trump as president telling Israel, give them food, give them food, give them fuel, give them electricity. No, there's been no pressure. And Hamas is weakening now. They have no money. They aren't able to pay their people. And because of the shortage of food, we see that there's an uprising beginning against Hamas. That's good news. That's going to bring an end to this conflict, hopefully sooner than later. And it's also going to bring an end to the suffering of the people of Gaza.
God's word is clear that when you do evil, there is accountability. Something happens when you do something against the commands of God.
I'd like to just read one verse. It's from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 56. It says, and I'm going to read it literally from the Hebrew, where it says, thus said, not says, but said the Lord, says, keep justice. That's a command. Now, that word for keeping is something valuable. What it tells us is justice is valuable to God. Then it says, and make righteousness. Well, this is Hebrew poetry. It's parallel. What's parallel with justice? Righteousness. If we're not committed to justice, we won't be doers of righteousness. And those two things are inherently related. Then it says, as we continue reading, for close is my salvation to come. When we look at this properly and we study the Bible as we should, we learn that if there's going to be salvation, that's a good thing. That's why Messiah came. There has to be justice and righteousness. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're called to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Well, we are not seeing the laws of justice and righteousness being considered in how America and how America has been leading Israel to fight this war. It's not pleasing to God. It's not following his rules for justice and righteousness.
Keep justice. I keep going back to that scripture verse that you just said, and yet the world says, no, let's set justice aside. And again, let's have some accountability from the Jewish people and from Israel. We need more food into Gaza. They're not seeing this biblically, obviously, because they're not operating in the kingdom.
They're not operating with a kingdom perspective, and they don't understand the character of God. God's character demands righteousness. His kingdom is a kingdom of justice and righteousness. So we're called to execute and be about the kingdom business. And that does not mean that we feed the enemy, supply the enemy. When we do that, we're not going to find victory. we are going to find more suffering, a prolonged conflict. You know, the world talks about always, you hear, a proportional response. Why would you want a proportional response? What does that do? Keep things going. Now, you know who comes up with a proportional response? Diplomats. Why? Diplomats love conflicts. They go to the best hotels in Paris, and they sit around, and they eat the finest food, drink the finest wine, and they're in no hurry for this war to end. That's why they want a proportional. No, we want a decisive. We want a determining action that brings about a conclusion. That's a good thing, to end a war, not to continue a war.
We're seeing Israel in a call-up of thousands of more reservists that will be going into Gaza very, very soon over the next several weeks to try to just put an end to all of this. How do you see this ending? In my estimation, biblically, Gaza is already the land of Israel. We know that. But it's for them to go into Gaza and just administer, you know, that area.
And Israel is capable of doing that. In fact, if other places, I know that they've called upon an international committee or international coalition to administer Gaza, it's not going to work because they don't have the intelligence that Israel has. So Israel needs to be the one. And I think we need to hear, if you listen, and the international media is not interested in reporting anything that's against their narrative. But we see it in Israel, that they are saying, the people of God are saying, we want peace. We want an end to this. We don't want this. We don't want Hamas. And they want a change. But that change is not going to happen until Israel receives the hostages back and unconditional surrender. The people of Gaza want that, but they're not in the position right now to determine that. And the only thing that's going to give them the incentive to do so is when they see their children hungry, when they're hungry, they're going to say, enough. We see historically, whenever there's that siege, the people rise up against the leaders. That's what has to be done. It's happening. We see a change in the stances of Hamas and their negotiations, what they're asking for. They are weakening, and they will be defeated. People have said all the time, oh, you can't defeat Hamas. It's a mentality. No, they can be defeated, but they have to be defeated by fighting war wisely and not weakly.
Well, the families are struggling in Israel. We know that as a result of what happened with October 7, 2023, and the wars that have been ongoing from Hezbollah and Iran and the Houthis, and we could go on and on about the devastating impacts that families have had to go through there in the land of Israel. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, how can I, in a practical way, you know, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the land of Israel during this time? What can we do as a people of God here in the United States?
We need to be praying for the will of God. God is a God of justice. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of truth. And therefore, we should be praying that the people of Gaza, you know, God loves them. I hope no one gets the impression that I don't love the people of Gaza. That's not true. I want the very best for them. But they're not going to experience the very best until they have access to the truth of God, to the Word of God. And understand something. Hamas, I know someone very well that had a ministry in Gaza. Hamas, once they got elected, they came in and they said, we're giving you 24 hours. If you're here tomorrow, we're killing you. These are Christians, Christian Arabs that are there who are Gazan, who were born there and raised. And they threatened them. That's Hamas. There's no freedom. And we want to bring a Western mentality to them. It doesn't happen. They see that Western mentality as weakness and a call to exploit such a view rather than any concept of justice, righteousness, holiness, and the truth of God. So if there's going to be a change there, there has to be a change of leadership. It cannot be Hamas. And as I said, the people of Gaza, they understand the suffering that their vote for Hamas has brought upon them.
We want everybody to, of course, pray for the situation there in the land of Israel. And I know that you're going to do that as you're listening today, because situation continues there in Israel with Gaza and that particular war. They're going through a lot, but we know that God has an incredible plan for the Jewish people in Baruch. Are the Jewish people going anywhere? Is the land of Israel going anywhere? Are you guys going to still be around, you know, in the next few years?
You know, I haven't heard one person suggest, because of what happened on October 7th, that we need to leave. In fact, many of our listeners may not realize, but during this time, immigration to Israel has increased. We see a call upon the Jewish people to return to the land. And what I'm hearing is people see a greater need to be there in the midst of this hardship rather than leaving. We don't see the Jewish people abandoning Israel. We see a greater commitment, and that commitment is pleasing to God. So no, the Jewish people, we're not going anywhere.
God's word is absolutely clear on that one. We know that. Dr. Baruch, thank you so much for all that you do with Love Israel. I encourage people to connect with loveisrael.org. And I want to encourage people to download the My Bible Study app, get that on their mobile device so that they can study the Bible with you as you teach through the books of the Bible, verse by verse, and the original languages and the Jewish context of the scriptures and just everything that you do. I just encourage people to get that. Thank you for all that you do around the world in teaching and just sharing the Word of God. We love and appreciate you, and we're so thankful that you're broadcasting on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you, John, and I really appreciate the unique and biblical perspective that you bring to the Middle East in this report.
Well, that's the Middle East Report, and I want to encourage you again to get in touch with Love Israel and Dr. Baruch and his entire team there. They've got so much to offer you, to encourage you to dig into God's Word, to get stronger in your study of God's Word. And all you got to do is go to loveisrael.org. That's loveisrael.org. Go to that website and you can get a lot of information. And then in addition to that, I want to encourage you to download the My Bible Study app. Get that on your mobile device. It's available for Android and for iOS devices, and you can get all of these Bible studies. They're absolutely free, verse by verse, many books of the Bible. You can study God's Word, you can learn God's Word, and your life will never be the same when you do that. Thank you, Dr. Baruch.
Thank you, John.
Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there. All you got to do is go to your podcast platform and search for The Middle East Report, and you'll find the show there. And then you can also go to afr.net. Thank you for listening.